attention all personnel. Because of the epidemic, tonight's broken film, which has not arrived yet, is canceled. A reminder from Colonel Jamestead, due to the flu, kindly refrain from kissing anyone unless absolutely necessary.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tabula Cast. This is episode 11. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is my co-host, John. How you doing, John?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited about this episode. We're going to talk about The Ranger, which we skipped over last time for time constraints, but we've also got a little bit of news about the trial keys that you gave out, and you've actually now given out all 50 of them, right?
They have all gone. All those messages have been sent.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, in that week, 25 of them have gone by pretty quickly. So what we'll do is we'll actually talk a little bit about the feedback that you got from a few of them, not all of them, and then we'll try to work it in the next few episodes, some more feedback that other people have given. And of course, we're not going to read through the entire feedback, like every question that was answered and asked and everything, but we're going to touch on some of the most interesting points.
Yeah, sure.
So, how have you been this week? Been advancing your Ranger?
Yeah, I've had a lot of time to play about this week. It's been quite a self-indulgent week, really. I've been playing with my Ranger, and trying out a few different builds with that, which is good fun. And, and just genuinely messing about, not really advancing my characters, but trying things out this week, which has been good. I've also been catching up on a few of my podcasts that I need to listen to, which I've been getting around to doing. Oh, I'll tell you what else I got today. I got my Z-board keyboard and Tabula Rasa key set. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah. You got that today then?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I love it.
Cool. What are some of the features and everything?
Well, basically, if nobody knows, a Z-board, it's a standard keyboard. It's a standard size, but you have like these key sets. So the keys you can pull out and they fold up into like a Z shape. And you can replace them with different key sets for different games. And they do a limited edition Tabula Rasa one, which has got like a nice picture of Sarah Morrison, in the nice artwork that's on the website on one side. But you've got a standard keyboard, but you've also got these extra keys where your numeric pad is. Mm-hmm. So basically you've got, a quick key for your backpack, a quick key for like a moat, and you can press a button and it brings up the clan window straight away, or it brings up your skill window straight away. And whilst I know you can do that with a normal keyboard, holding down control, it's just nice to have these hotkeys and hotkeys for emotes like, salute, wave, all that sort of stuff, push up. They're all assigned across the top. And it's pretty useful. It's nice to have, and everything's labelled up nicely. And it just feels nice. So I've been playing about with that today.
That's cool. That sounds really cool. I know they made one of those for Guild Wars too, and I never messed with it, but it's pretty interesting.
I probably wouldn't have bothered, but the L and the N key on my keys are fading from hammering out the log button, to get my missions up. They've stopped working altogether now.
Yeah, I have a feeling that my left mouse button is going to break pretty soon. Because especially like when I was playing, I had a shotgun for quite a while, when you play in the Myers with a shotgun, you might as well buy an extra mouse just right away. Yeah. Well, that's cool though. And for any Americans listening, that would also be referred to as the Z board.
Very funny.
So I had to throw that in there.
What about you then? What have you been up to this week?
Well, it's ironically, it's been kind of the opposite of you. I haven't really got to play that much at all. And now people are going to hate me for this one. Maybe I shouldn't even mention it, but I'm starting up a subscription to Lotro. Let me pause for the booze. But I got some friends in Lotro, and I got a trial key for it, so I figured I'd go ahead and start playing that, and I really enjoy that. But, it's like I've told them, my main game is still Tabula Rasa, so I'm not going anywhere. But I did get to play a little bit. My character's in the marshes right now, and I'm just having fun over there. I love that whole area. The plateau is one of my favorite areas, and the marshes are really cool because of the ambiance of it. You have like these chirping frogs and crickets in the background. And when you have a surround sound speakers, it's really cool to hear like the frogs chirping from behind you. And I know that that happens with everything, but it's really cool what, like, when you're in the middle of swampland like that. It's just, it's really cool. But I'm really enjoying the marshes, and I know that a few months ago they had some problems where they said that once you get up to like level 35 in the marshes or this whole area, there's not really a lot of quests. And you hit like a stall period. Well, they fixed that. They fixed that in a patch. I think it was 1.3, somewhere around there. But, it's nice now because they have tons of quests to do and tons of different ways to level. So it's really a lot of fun.
It's a great game. It's a very pretty game. It's, it's very immersive from that point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But just to clarify, you're not going anywhere as far as Tihar is concerned.
Yeah. Let me reiterate that. Yeah. Lotro is a, and you know, it's funny. I started out as the kind of guy who would never ever subscribe to anything. I couldn't imagine paying, you know, back then it was $20 a month for, you know, like, for WoW and stuff like that when MMOs first came out. Now everything's $15 a month. Well, I still couldn't imagine paying $15 a month for anything. Mm. So I played Guild Wars for 3 years, almost 3 years. And it's now I'm actually subscribing to two games. It's just incredible to me to think about it. You know, you make room in your budget for stuff like that, and it's
Do.
I don't need to eat this month, you know.
it's interesting actually though. I was the opposite to you. I mean, I just got straight into paying for games, and I think in the UK I'm used to paying through the nose for everything anyway. And I wouldn't play Guild Wars because I was convinced it would be rubbish because it was free, but it wasn't. It's a great game, you know. But this isn't a Guild Wars or a Lord of the Rings Online podcast.
Yeah, I think we've talked more about them than anything. So let's go ahead and get into the news then for this week for Tabula Rasa.
Cool.
Last week we did mention the progress that we were having with patch 1.4, and I imagine the listeners are sick and tired of hearing about 1.4 by now, but luckily we have a little bit of news. We talked about 1.5 a little bit last week, but there's been a little bit of a change from last week. We talked about the PvP safe zones that they were going to introduce with patch 1.5, but Critters, the community manager, actually mentioned in a recent post in their news that the PvP safe zones won't be available in 1.5, but they are still coming. I guess they had a few bugs that they still need to work out. But to me, this is an example of one of those things where the reason that they're changing it to where they're not going to wait so long for these patches to come, and they're not going to wait for everything to fall into place before they do it. They're just going to say, you know what, 1.5 isn't going to have that on there. It's going to have this other stuff, but not that, and then we'll just throw that on 1.6 or 1.7 or whatever, you know? And it works out pretty well.
It's pretty cool. I mean, my first reaction was, oh, there's something really wrong with it, because I was used to that mindset of thinking, you know, these patches are bigger.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're more great. I think they said they're going to release every 3 weeks. But I do wonder if that actually means that 1.5 is coming sooner than we think, and we'll be getting that, you know, imminently based on, you know, the 1.4 and the feedback that people have given on that.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I'd like to see what else the this patch has.
Yeah, me too.
I heard rumors that this next patch will have a reduction in knockdown for when you get knocked down, like if when you get kicked by a Thrax or something like that, and they all shoot at you, and you're just sitting down, and you get up real slowly, and then you're kind of stunned for a second, and it's really annoying, and you're bashing on your mouse button. that's supposed to change. They're supposed to reduce that time, so that'll be a great improvement.
Okay, and that will work hand in hand with the increase in the health of the mobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Help balance it out a little bit. Now, another thing I wanted to mention, which was pretty interesting, especially to me and John, is the fact that we were in the weekend wrap-up from last week, just talking a little bit about the collaboration between the two fan sites, you know, between Tabula Blogger and Tabula Cast.
So that's kind of cool. I actually took a screenshot of that.
did you well, blow it up and print it out and put it on your wall?
Yeah, I might do. I need to do that. but Tia and Critters did us proud, didn't they?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, because it was on both. It was on the European and the American versions of the site.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's good to see.
And another thing, this is probably the last part of the news we'll talk about, but there was a little race over at Planet TR where they started doing this blind race. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I need to start looking out for these things a bit more, because I wasn't aware of this event until it was up in the news, and I wish I knew about it up front, because it looked absolutely brilliant. And there is a video, the link's on the main NCSoft site, and it's also up on my blog. But it just looked like pure simple fun, you know. It reminded me of like the hide and seek events that used to happen in City of Heroes. And when you watch this video, you see devs leading around players, and players, they're like running into walls. I should explain this a bit more. The way it was a blind event is that the players had to turn off their monitors. I don't quite know how you police that, whether you can tell if someone's got their monitor on or not. But watching the video, it was pretty clear. Watching these characters just run into walls and trees and get stuck in gaps. And it just looked like a lot of fun, and I would have loved to have taken part of that. It was like everyone was in one place, and then they just all sort of, even though they were going the same way, they all just ran off in opposite directions. very funny.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, I didn't really understand what it was going to be about. Mm. And then once I saw the video, I'm like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, but it's like you said, how do you really police the turning off of the monitor, I guess. But
yeah, I think a lot of people, did it properly, because it was all about fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like events like this, and there's so many nice live events coming out of this game. And, it can only get sort of more and more. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you want to move on to talking a little bit more about your trial keys that you gave away?
Yeah, that'd be great. So, like we said earlier, they've all gone. I think since mentioning it on the last episode, it just accelerated things, and they just went within a few days. They've just all gone straight away. So, basically, what I did was I sent out a questionnaire, because we were intrigued, weren't we, Sean? We wanted to know what people thought of the trial, and, you know, not everybody takes up the trial into the full game, and we wanted to know what was going on, really. So I sent out some questions. I'll run through those quickly. I don't want to run through the answers of everybody. I'll just give you sort of a general opinion of what was said. But first of all, I asked them what made them try the trial, whether they've played an MMO before, and if so, what it was. Then ask them how long they played the trial for, what level did they get to, what did they think of the story, what did you think of the choices available to you, what did you think of the environment, how did you find the tutorial zone? I maybe should have reworded that one, because one person came back to me and said, well, I found it was there straight away when I logged into the game. What did you think of the community? What particular aspects stood out to you? What was disappointing to you? What features did you like? What is the overall opinion? Your overall opinion of the game? And will you continue to play it, and why or why not? So there's quite a few questions there.
Yeah.
And I thought it gave a nice broad sort of spectrum of what we needed to know. I think I sent over to you some of the feedback I've had, and this is only a small chunk of it, because I've sent so many out. I'm planning on getting a lot more, and it'd be interesting to see what those opinions are like. But for now, I picked up on quite a theme with all of these things. A lot of people are comparing this game to other MMOs, and I don't know about you, Sean, but I think you can't. I think it is something new and different from other games.
Yeah.
A lot of people mentioning the lack of abilities early on and the choices that we have. Well, there are quite a few choices in the game. I just think it's very different when you make a class choice initially, because you're limited with the recruit class and then where you go from there. So you have to follow that path. And I think if someone comes in this game from WoW, they're used to, from, you know, right from the word go, they can choose from a number of classes and you know, whether they're good or bad and all that sort of thing. And you don't get that choice with this. Just about everyone seemed to ignore the community. Not ignore it completely. You know, they did look at the websites and, you know, information outside of it. However, I did get the impression that nobody really sort of picked up a party or a pickup group in game. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if that's to do with the way the newbie zone is laid out. In other games, you straight away you're very aware of other people running around, whereas this game you are encouraged to solo right from the get start. So I wonder if that needs a bit of tweaking to get people to try the game for a bit longer.
I guess that is a good point. I think when I think back of the way I thought when I first started playing the game, and you get in boot camp and you're like, okay, where's everybody else and what do I do? And it does throw you off, I think. I think because your main concern when you're playing an MMO is to meet other people or to see other people. And when that's not there initially, it distracts you from what's actually going on in boot camp, because your mind is concentrating on the fact that you might you know, am I doing something wrong? Where is everybody? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can see that.
But it also does make you put you at ease a bit because you're not worrying about other people, I suppose. I mean, if you're just concentrating on getting, you know, your basics right and not worrying about, you know, offending anyone or how am I behaving or have I stolen some kills or that sort of stuff. Maybe that was the decision there. Everyone said that the trial was very short. I have to agree with that. I don't think 3 days is long enough to try out an MMO and to get a good feel for it. You can barely get to level 10 maybe with that. I suppose if you played solidly, but, you know, if you're going to play this on a 3-day trial, typically you're going to have to play it on a weekend, aren't you, on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, people have other things to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of those things, too. Most other games out there, EVE Online has a 14-day trial, Lord of the Rings Online has a 10-day, I think WoW has a 10-day. Most of these games have much longer trials, and it's for good reason. And I think this one, it would make the most sense to have a longer trial because of the fact that everybody starts out the same, you know, when you're all recruits. And of course, when you get to level 5, you can change, and that changes it up a little bit. But I don't think you're actually playing this game until you hit level 15. I just think it's a basic MMO, and it's not anything to detract from the game itself, but I mean, in the scope of things, it's a basic MMO where you do FedEx quests and you do, you know, kill 10 of these and mm-hmm. stuff like that until you start getting into like level 15. And that's when things start getting really exciting. And then when you get to level 30, it's a whole new game. And, you know, you got that adventure from 30 to 50 and all that.
Yeah.
I understand why, maybe some of the reasons why they did it that short, but I do think a longer trial would probably help keep a lot of players.
Yeah, definitely. You need a trial that allows you 2 weekends and a few nights in the week.
Yeah.
I've had lots of positive feedback. This theme carried along from a lot of people on the way that the mobs drop in. And we've talked about this. A dropship comes in, you get that lovely teleport noise, then they materialize in front of you. And it's not just like they just appear and they spawn in front of you like in other games. It just feels brilliant. And because of that, everyone said it doesn't feel repetitive. You know, you feel you're part of this big war, and that theme carried on in the replies I got. They just feel they are part of something, and they all the storyline of thing feels purposeful.
Yeah.
The last sort of major comments, and I don't think this is a fault with the game at all, but it's more so that to do with system performance and the sort of where we're at with computers at the moment in general. A few people commented on the way the game performs on a subpar machine, and it's quite an important point. It does need to be a reasonable rig to run on. In fact, when I got into the beta, I immediately had to upgrade my machine to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It does scale down nicely to lower settings, but you do feel like you're missing out. It's very, very pretty on the full settings. But it is a current game, and it plans on hanging about for a while, so I feel it's a bit of sort of forward planning, really. Sort of make it, you know, current with its demands, and it will be around for a while. So that's it, really. I'd just like to thank the responses I've sort of talked about today are from people on GAX. We've got Merton. Who else have we got? We've got Mostron, InBlue, Artanis, Shambo, and Aidan Johnson. They're all people that took the time to reply to me initially. Cool. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was really helpful. And like I said, we're going to mention a few other ones in the next couple shows. We're going to talk more about some feedback. So if you've gotten one of these trial keys, and you've played through the trial and everything, and just please, you know, respond to John's questions and let us know exactly what you thought about the game and your impressions of it.
Yeah, we're interested in hearing that.
Yeah. So now we're going to read through a couple emails we got. I didn't really get a lot this week, but ironically, I got 2 of them yesterday. Now, I imagine I got these because of the fact that we were on the RGTR website. And it really, I checked out my stats, and it really brought a lot of new listeners to the show, which I'm very grateful for. So, but this one here, let's see, this is from Laird, and he says, "Listen to the show for the first time tonight. Really liked it. There are a few questions that I have regarding Tabula. Please ignore me if this has been asked a million times. First one, why am I collecting logos when only a handful are used for powering abilities?" The thing about this is, you know, I'm not positive, but I would imagine that they're going to introduce more abilities later on that utilize the rest of these logos. You know, they're going to have another planet they've already talked about. They're going to have they're supposed to have more races, you know, on these planets. They're supposed to have more classes, which isn't set in stone yet, so don't quote me on that one. But they're, you know, they just have a lot more content that they plan on putting in this game. So I think I just have this really strong feeling that later on we're going to find out that if we skipped getting this one Logos back in the Divide, you know, it was something that we really needed. So I just, as a basic rule, I usually collect every single Logos I can on every map.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's almost a bit like archaeology to me, I think, is when you sort of get into the sort of, you know, the RP side of it. So yeah, it's cool to collect them all. It's part of the history. But I do sort of feel, again, so what you're saying, Sean, is that these things could be, you know, for things that are appearing in the game in the future. Not necessarily skills, though. I do wonder if, you know, Logos would be the keys to something else as well.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps we've already seen it in sort of current quests that you have to get 5 previous Logos that are around a cave door in order to enter that cave. So maybe they're for other things like this, or access, or, you know, all sorts of things that they leave a possibility open to. So yeah, I think you're right with that. I think we have to sort of wait and see what that has to bring.
And that's half the excitement right there.
Yeah, definitely.
And his second question, he says, is anyone at Destination Games looking at the title system? Because in Guild Wars, I had to work really hard for titles, and they meant something to me. In TR, I just got them for playing. They don't really mean much. I'd have to agree. I mean, I know that right now they don't have an effect. You know, once you get a title, it's more of a bragging right. There's no effect. Mm-hmm. Like in Guild Wars, for anyone who doesn't play Guild Wars, again, I'm mentioning Guild Wars again on this show. For anyone who doesn't play, they have titles. Once you earn them, they actually have effects on your skills or effects on different, you know, like your energy or your health or things like that. They actually affect, you know, your gameplay. And I think what he's saying here is, wouldn't that be cool if we had something like that in Tabula Rasa? And I definitely agree. But as far as knowing if they have that in the works, I really don't know. But I agree, it would be really cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see a bit more of that. It does feel like we've got an abundance of them.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about that, because I love them. I love titles, and I put them up there, and I show off what I've done and what I've achieved, and I really like that. But it would be nice to sort of get a little bonus from some of the harder to achieve ones.
And who knows, maybe they actually have that in the works.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be great. All right, so this next email, this is the last one, and it starts out and it says, "Hey guys, I love the show, even though I recently just started listening. I have already listened to all the previous episodes. The main reason why I'm writing to you is I would like your opinion on whether to roll a sniper or a spy. I'm a level 23 ranger, and I love it. I love the idea of attacking, possibly one-shotting from distance, but then at the same time, I also like the ability to sneak around, pew, 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 people in secret. What do you think?" Well, one word, cloning. This is the reason, you know, why there is cloning. When you get, right now you're level 23, when you get level 29 and you're almost level 30, actually just before you level, it'll stop you. It won't let you level until you talk to a trainer, and that is when you clone. You clone right then. Because what you can do is you make a clone, and you make that clone a sniper, and then you make your original character a spy or whatever, or, you know, vice versa. Then you have two characters that are level 30, a sniper and a spy. You can play one, and if you don't like it, you can always go back and play the other one. To be honest, I love them both. I mean, I've advanced my spy a little bit further just because of the insane damage they do with swords, but the sniper, I really, really, really love the sniper, because I love the idea of hiding. It's like he said, you know, hiding from a distance and one-shotting. Yeah. It's really cool. I would definitely clone. And also, I wanted to mention the fact that you are in luck, because we will be talking a little bit more about the ranger in just a second.
I just want to add to that, I love the sniper. Yeah, I really, really do like it. I like the fact that you can, you know, you've got your stealth armor on and you can get a good advantage point and, you know, or sneak around and sort of get some distance action there. But don't forget that you, like Sean says, you can clone, but also as a sniper, you still do have some, you know, close-up things you can do if you want to. So don't let it limit you entirely. But make your clone and try them both out.
All right, so... Well, I guess that would be a good segue to get into the ranger then.
Yeah, sure.
Because we put it off last week, but I wanted to dedicate a good chunk of this show to the Ranger. You know, in previous shows, I've done the entire show on, you know, on one topic, on one class like that. And I was talking to John earlier about the fact that I would like to start integrating more of these class, you know, more information about the classes and more shows so that we can get these out. And maybe once there's updates to these, I can get the updates out later on. Because right now we have so many classes to talk about and there's so many things I want to talk about in them. But at the same time, I want to be able to play them. I don't want to look at the wiki and just say, this is what the demolitionist will do because I read it here. You know, anybody can read anything. I want to actually be able to experience it. So then that way me and John can work off each other. So that's a lot of pressure on John. He's got to go through and level all his characters.
But you know what though? You're saying that this week, cause I knew we were talking about Ranger and luckily I like the Ranger anyway. But I've been playing my Ranger and it's nice. And I like trying out different characters and, you know, being the altaholic that you are, Sean. And, but I do like to do that. And, I think it's the best way to do it because, otherwise it's a bit false unless you've tried it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly why we're talking about the Ranger this time, is because we've both actually played through it. And I of course, you know, I kid around, but I wouldn't expect John to play through every single class, especially, you know, right away. But we will eventually get around to all the classes, and I would like to eventually get around, make all of my characters, you know, have a tier 4 of every class. That would be great.
Yeah. But, and every hybrid.
Yeah, every hybrid. And then when they introduce the new stuff, have all that. It's a lot of pressure. So I guess when we start out with this Ranger, I just want to talk a little bit about the basics of a Ranger. The Ranger, of course, is a tier 3 class, which means once you get to level 15 is when you can change over to a Ranger. And it's from level 15 to level 29. And then once you hit level 30 is when you go to tier 4. We all know that. So the thing about the Ranger is it specializes in stealth. It has stealth armor, which is the training skill for that is actually called stealth body armor. And some will argue that the stealth armor isn't as great as some of the other options that a Ranger might have, but I really, really like my stealth armor. What it is it actually offers you a stealth bonus. If you pump your stealth armor skill all the way up to level 5, then you will actually get 10% stealth bonus per piece that you wear. And what the stealth bonus does is it almost makes you invisible to the enemies. Not completely invisible, like you don't show up as invisible. You can sneak up on them a lot easier. You can walk behind a Thrax and he won't hear you, like as if you had, you know, Graviton on or something like that. And that's come in really handy a few times for me, especially with a spy, because you have a blade and you want to sneak up on him. But I really enjoy that fact of it, and this is, it's kind of you know, a personal preference of mine, but I really enjoy the stealth armor a lot.
Well, to me, it's the most useful armor in the game. To me, it's brilliant for PvE at least, not necessarily PvP, but like you say, when you're running around and you can reduce the amount of aggro you get and get a better position on the enemy that you want to engage, or avoid them altogether if you want to. I do find myself needing to carry around a set of motor assist as well, though.
Yeah, just for the speed bonuses.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So not only is this armor, I mean, this armor always works. It always gives you that stealth bonus, so you don't have to worry about like turning it on or flipping a switch or anything like that. You know, it's always on. But I wanted to talk about the next skill. It's your weapon skill for the Ranger, and that's the net gun. And the net gun is basically, if you've heard anything about, you know, if you listen to a lot of the things that have happened back in beta, or if you were in beta, you might have heard that the net gun was way overpowered in beta. What it does is it shoots a net that traps the enemy, and it damages them over time is what it does. And in the description for it, what it does, it uses a rocket, so you need rockets for the ammo. And it does a combination of holding the enemy and doing the damage over time. And the damage over time varies a little bit. Like if you have pump 1 in the skill net gun training, you don't get any kind of damage bonus. But then once you get up to level 5, you get a 40% damage bonus, which can help out a lot. And it's the whole damage over time concept is really great for the larger, like the bosses and the things like that, that you want to keep in one spot.
Yeah, definitely. I like the hold ability of it, but it has changed so much since beta. That's beta for the people in the UK, not beta.
Touché.
I said to you earlier, I've been playing around with my builds for this, and I've had to ditch it. I've had to clone and ditch Netgun because I was dependent on what it used to be like. And although I've read everything and heard everything about it, I thought, no, I'm going to try this anyway. It can't be that much different. But it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't know about you, Sean, but I think it was a little too overpowerful before.
Yeah. Now, one thing to keep in mind, though, with the Netgun is if you shoot it once and it holds, if you shoot it again, it will actually release the net. Which I don't understand why it does that, but that is a big problem once it comes to, you know, if you don't know that already.
It's often referred to as netgun versus netgun, isn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the only reason I've ever used a netgun, I actually, once we did the respec, I took all netgun points out. But before the respec, I used a netgun, and with my spy, what I would do is I would shoot it at an enemy to keep them there, and then I'd run up on them with the blade. And, you know, then that way they couldn't run away, or they couldn't run towards me and attack first or whatever. It's kind of good in that aspect. Other than that, it's not a big damage dealer.
No. And sort of similarly for the sniper, you can use it to hold a target whilst you pop another one off or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we get into the abilities of the Ranger, and there are three of them. There's reinforcements, polarity field, and carpet bombing. First, let's go over reinforcements. This was one that I used a lot before the respec. And once the respec came, I took most of the points out. I did keep three, a pump three in it. But, okay, at level one, you get a pistolier, which is basically a guy that shoots a pistol. And let me back up a little bit. What they do, these reinforcements, is it actually summons like a guy to help you out. You know, you got this NPC that will follow you around. And he's, I believe, is there anything? He's the same level as you, isn't he? I believe he is.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so he's the same level as you, which helps out a lot. And they last for 2 minutes, and they help you out, which is great. I mean, it sounds like it's, in theory, that's a great idea. But the thing is, it's the AI, I think, honestly, could use a little bit of tweaking. So level one, you have the pistolier, he shoots the pistol. Level two, you have a rifleman who shoots a rifle, a little bit better weapon, a little bit longer range. At pump three, you have the medic, which can be really nice, especially, you know, when you're soloing a lot, you want somebody next to you that's going to heal you, because as a ranger, you don't have a tools ability. But let me just say one thing. The medic does not have a repair tool. It actually has a heal tool. So you can't expect it to repair your armor. It actually only repairs you if your armor gets depleted and your health starts going down. Then it'll start to heal you. But until then, he punches stuff, basically.
He's a meat shield.
Yeah, he's a meat shield. And that's a good point, because I used him a lot for that, for distractions.
Yeah.
Like, I would be running through, I just want to get to the next outpost. You know, I don't want to sit around and fight, so I want to run to the next outpost. So I'm running up to a group, and I let out my medic, and then I run past, and since he runs slower than me because he likes to punch things, he gets kind of caught back in the group, and then they start just attacking him, and they leave me alone. And that works great. That's a great aspect of it. But then when you get to pump four, you get the grenadier, which is a, you know, it's like the grenadier in the human class, you know, that you play, or the player class, and that works out pretty well. And then at pump five, you have the chain gunner, who uses the chain gun, and again, this is a really powerful, it's like anyone with a chain gun, you know, it works out fairly well. And I've noticed when I use my chain gunner, I used him a lot to the kind of the same thing, where he would be my support fire while I did other things, you know, with the blade and things like that. But once the respec came, the grenadier and the chain gunner, I didn't feel were really necessary, so I just went up to medic just for the healing and all that. But
sure. I like the chain gun in this. I like the idea of having an extra chain gun, but it sort of goes a bit against the whole idea of being stealthy for me, because they don't have the stealth bonuses that you get from wearing your armor.
Yeah, and they tend to not only have no stealth, but kind of attract attention.
It'd be great if they could sort of introduce a little bit of a, I don't know if there's a button or something that you could just, you know, make them a little bit more player controlled, you know, hold, heal, roll over.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, actually, yeah. So did you have any other experiences with the other ones?
With the other reinforcements?
Yeah.
Only that the medic, you really can't sort of rely on the rate of fire for the heals, as it were. So rate of heal. I suppose that's the same of them all, really. The riflemen seem really, really slow to me when they let off a few rounds. You can be waiting a long time for them to sort of fire again. So that's why I prefer chain gun in this. If I'm going to take it, I'd probably go pump five. But I tend to not take it at the moment.
Not at all?
No, I'm not a big fan of reinforcements at the moment. I've been playing around with my builds this week. Shall I tell you what I've decided on as my Ranger build for now?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, this necessarily isn't a Ranger ability, but you get lightning from day one, and I've kept that at sort of around the pump three mark. I did have it at pump five, but it was just too expensive on the power usage.
Yeah.
And this, you still get the electrical and the EMP advantages it brings, so I quite like that there. I've got my firearms all the way up to five, which I think goes without saying. It's like your bread and butter, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I've kind of, you know, kept, you know, the abilities you've talked about, the reinforcements, I've kept that out of the equation for now. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you about the rest of this, because you're going to talk a little bit more about the other abilities, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you talk about those, and then I'll tell you what else I've taken.
Okay. Well, the next one is Polarity Field, and I don't really have a lot of experience with this one, because I never really liked the description of it. And I could be way off base, but I always looked at the description and I thought, well, what it says is it creates a field around the targeted enemy that performs a quantum inversion of energy packets that cross its barrier. The inverted energy is able to easily bypass the target's defense systems. This has the effect of transforming the target's defenses into vulnerabilities. You know, the different pumps, like at pump one, you have sonic damage, pump two, you have photonic. Pump 3 is thermal, pump 4 is electric, and pump 5 is kinetic. And they all last 60 seconds. It's like it says, it inverses the damage. It turns the target's defenses into vulnerabilities.
That's correct.
So have you played with this one?
I know we're talking about Ranger, but I think this is more useful as a sort of a base Ranger skill that you're going to carry through with you to something like Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Because at pumps 1 and 2... this gives the sort of effects of, it's laser and sonic at pumps 1 and 2, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you're going to go sniper, your sort of bread and butter torque guns are going to be your laser and your sonic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really for me, that's the only time you use it. It's such a short sort of time it casts for that you want to fire that off and then fire the round of your torque gun off. For me, that's the only real use I've found for it.
Yeah, and another good thing about that with the sniper is it actually has a 60-meter range, which helps out a lot.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess I don't play my sniper as much, so I guess that would be, you know, a good ability to have with your sniper. I guess I should try that out once I play my sniper more.
But you could respec and use those points, you know, differently for now, and then maybe when you get up to sniper, use them. But maybe as a ranger, you could allocate those points somewhere else for now.
Yeah. All right, so this last one... this last ability is carpet bombing, and let me read the description here a little bit. It says, create one or more beacons that teleport high explosive bombs onto the battlefield. There is a slight delay between creation of the beacon and arrival of the bombs. Higher pump levels create more beacons at higher pump levels. Carpet bombing will create a wide swathe of destruction on the battlefield. This, and what they mean here basically, you know, at pump one, you have one bomb that drops. If at pump two, you have two bombs that drop. And you might have seen these before if you are not a ranger yet, or maybe you're a ranger, you don't have this skill. You might have seen these big, giant red flashes, across the screen, like these multiple little bombs on the ground, and then you have these, they almost look like spotlights at a dance club or something like that. These big red lights. And what I do... and I read up on this one a little bit before I got it, is I just have two. I have mine up to pump two, because what it is, you know, you have the increased damage, of course. You also have the increased cost. So once you get up to pump two, the width of these bombs that drop is 30 meters. Once you get up to pump three, it's 40 meters. Pump four, it's 50 meters. And pump five, it's 60 meters. So if you think about it, when you're in somewhere... How many times are you in an area where there's 60 meters of open space? You know what I mean? I mean, that's huge. And when you drop, I mean, sure, you're going to kill everything around it. And I guess the best way this would be the most useful is control points when you're right out there. I'm going to talk about that in a second because there's actually a bad aspect of that. But what I do is I use pump two just because of the fact that it's two bombs. Most of the time I'm within an area that's 30 meters. And when it's more than that, you try to drop, like, say you have it up to pump five and you have 60 meters and you try to drop that in a small area, it tends to mess up a little bit. It kind of blows up the walls and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't really go on target. So, and what I was going to say about the control points is when you're using this skill and you drop it on a giant group and you see all these red numbers fly up that you just hurt all these things, it's cool until they all turn on you and I'll start shooting at you because that's exactly what they're going to do. You just aggroed, you know, 30 different enemies here and they're all going to fire at you and you're going to be dead in like 3 seconds. So what I like to do with this actually is it's kind of fun is I'll go up where the, what are those things called? The, turrets.
Oh yeah. I'll go up by the rafters.
Yeah. I'll go up there. I'll throw the bombs down and then I'll run back in behind the wall. But what's funny is they all come up to the gate, like whatever you call that thing.
The force field.
Yeah, the force field. They all come up to the force field like they want to get at me and they can't get at me. And
a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is actually a lot of fun. I've had it happen one time when I've done that and then I run down and I notice they just took the force field down. I'm like, oh no. And they all run in and kill me.
But that's cool. I've got carpet bombing at pump two now. Pump one, it doesn't seem like an area of effect ability at all.
Yeah.
And pump two adds like so much extra range to it that's much better. Well, range width rather. But yeah, I have to agree. Any more than that, and it just seems a bit too expensive and a bit unnecessarily really. One thing I would say about it as well is you almost have to not aim it. You have to sort of aim it at their feet or slightly away from them rather than sort of bang on reticule.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of the cost, you know, you start out at pump one, you have 30 power cost. But then when you get up to pump five, it's all the way up to 150 power, which is a lot. And not only that, you have to spend weapons grade micromech, which I don't remember the price of those. But when you are at pump one, you're only spending one of those. But at pump five, you're spending five of those each shot.
Yeah, it's you need to sort of keep that in mind too. But it's a nice ability. It's one of my favorites now. I'm using it a lot more than I thought I would. It's almost, whilst it hasn't got the hold ability, it's almost replaced my net gun for me as something I like to just fire off before taking shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the only bad part about that is it does defeat the whole purpose of stealth.
Yeah.
So if you're not concerned with that.
I get quite into the whole sort of ethos of my builds, and I'm thinking, right, I'm a spy or I'm a sniper or I'm a ranger, so I have to be really, really quiet. And that affects my decisions. But this one I just thought about and I thought, no, everyone should have sort of an AOE, an area of effect ability in their arsenal.
Yeah.
And it's handy just to have for that reason. So yeah, I took carpet bombing and I did take polarity field, but I am looking at a sniper, so I'm not necessarily going to use that now. Mm. I know I could respec and clone later, but I quite like to keep my characters as I plan them out to be in the long term, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think we talked about this before, how you can always clone and you can always, you know, you can do the TOO quests to get another clone point and you can always clone it. But it's always nice to have your original character, the one you started out with.
Yeah, definitely. You do get attached to them. And the net gun made me lose that original character this time. But I'm having a lot of fun with the Ranger. I've had a great couple of weeks messing about with it. It's been good fun, and it's definitely one of my favorite classes in the whole game.
Yeah. Just the whole ranger idea, the whole stealth idea, and, you know, if you're the kind of person who doesn't like to just go in guns blazing, and you like to kind of sneak around back, or you like to get to certain areas just by a different means, the ranger is a great way to do that, because either way, if you go sniper or spy, you're going to be doing that. You're still going to be sneaking around, and it's really a great... I like the way that both the sniper and the spy still play into that whole stealth aspect of it. It works out really well.
But at the same time, they sort of, you know, contrast each other completely. You know, one's close up, one's ranged, you know, yeah. So you've got that as well. I think it's a very well designed tier, this one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Did you have anything else you want to talk about with the Ranger?
No, that's fine. With regards to the Ranger, I just want to say this week I'm going to be playing around, you know, not only on the blog, but sort of in game with the community aspect. Coming out of that trial, it's made me realize that a lot of people aren't partaking in the community a bit. So I want to sort of drop back to these sort of early levels a bit and try and pick up groups and play with some random people. Just to see, you know, what that is like early on in the game and how sort of people will find it. Mm-hmm. So if you do see me, look out for Smitz, my in-game character, S-M-I-T-Z, or Z.
Pretty American.
And if I invite you into a group, you know, take the time to play with me. Or, in fact, if anyone invites you to party, take the time to try it out because, you know, you might meet someone and have some fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of times you'll find that, you know, if you have the LFG channel turned on, you'll see that everyone is asking for Crater Lake or Pravis or, you know, the beginning, probably all Wilderness instances and then the Divide and then it starts tapering off a little bit in the Palisades and Plains and Incline. Mm-hmm. Where people aren't really looking for groups anymore. And I think what it is either people join guilds and they get established like that and they start getting friends. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, later on in the game, it gets a lot less random. You know what I mean? Where you got a lot less of the pickup group, where you get of just random people getting together. And I think you have a great point there where you want to go back and you want to help out these people. Or just join up with these people who might just be completely lost because it's a big determiner in how long they're going to stay in this game. If Absolutely. People start playing this game and they don't have anybody to play with, why are they going to pay $15 a month for for that? You know, so I think you have a really great idea there.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a whirl.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead and wrap it up for this episode. I just wanted to thank you again, John, for coming on, and hopefully next week. We will have some exciting guests. I'm not really sure. I have a few ideas that I need to pan out still a little bit, a few different show ideas, but we'll see how that all goes. And hopefully we can stick to this every week schedule because I really like it. I really like getting it out there on a regular schedule so that everybody knows what to expect.
Yeah, that's working out well, I think.
Yeah. But so I guess until next time, this is Sean.
And this is John.
And we are signing off.
Bye-bye.
TabulaCast is part of the Virgin Worlds Podcast Collective. If you are interested in finding more MMO podcasts, head on over to virginworlds.com and click on the podcast link at the top.